This is VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
This is VSiN Prime Time, live from the Circus Sportsbook in downtown Las Vegas on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
As we went to break, there was a 4th and 2. Miami lined up and said, we're going to run it right up the middle. And they got that first down. Now another 3rd and short. And Matt, this has kind of been what Miami's offense has looked like through the playoffs. Just kind of grind things out, get chunk plays. I don't want to say service style-esque, because that's our service academy-esque. But they want to keep those the line to gain short and a 3rd and 1. And they're going to try to go deep here. Instead, they look for a short pass, and they're going to get another first down, Matt. Another quick look deep, and Carson Beck knows, I'm not going to do anything. I should make a mistake. Checks it down, and they get another first.
Well, what's happening here is Miami offensive line is dominating. Ole Miss can't – look at this Ole Miss defensive line. Can't get any pressure. Can't break through. Actually, on the 4th and 2 run, that was a pretty lame running play. They got off to a slow start. I thought Ole Miss should have stuffed it. Instead, Mark Fletcher just kind of forged ahead for, 3 or 4 yards and a run that really Ole Miss should have stuffed. And on that 3rd and 1 right there, could get no pressure at all on Carson Beck. He just dumps it off to the running back and a first down. So one thing I'm noticing here is the Miami offensive line is controlling this right now.
This shouldn't come as a surprise. This offensive line is one of, if not the best offensive lines in college football. And Ole Miss, if you look at the 4 remaining teams, I think it is fair to say the weakest unit of all 4 is the Ole Miss defense. They made some plays against Georgia. I'm not saying they're garbage, but of the 4, I think this is the weakest unit. Now you can make an argument maybe Ole Miss's offense is the best of the remaining offenses or all the units, but this has been impressive to see and kind of what I expected from the Ole Miss offense here, and they're just kind of grinding it along in another 3rd and short here, Matt.
That's just a pedestrian running play that probably should go for 2 yards, and they pick up, what, 4 or 5 right there.
And another 3rd and 1. Yeah. Long drive. This is what we saw against Ohio State as well, as you're seeing long drives and just kind of burning it out. And what are they doing? What's the best defense in this game? Keep number 6 on the sidelines.
And that's what they're doing right now. Like you said, burning clock. Now, the key for Ole Miss here, when you get a compacted field, is you got to hold Miami to a field goal. If you do that, it's a win for the defense. But you can't let Miami bulldoze its way into the end zone here. 3rd and 3.
Alakai Toney and Wildcat.
Look at this.
Ooh, they're going to hold him down.
I don't like the Wildcat play.
So here's a decision.
You're telling the defense exactly what you're doing right there. Why would you not have Carson Beck in the shotgun?
Now, Toney can throw a little bit. He's a high school quarterback, but they sniffed this one out, and now another decision for Mario Cristobal. Do you be complacent? Do you kick the field goal here?
This early in the game, I think he's going to kick.
Kicking has not been great, but good conditions down there, and they are going to bring out the kicking unit. And if anyone has the first half under, like I do, you are happy to see Carter Davis come out for a field goal attempt, as well as the first quarter
38-yarder. It's going to be good. 3-0 Miami. The live line doesn't change much after field goals, Tim. We talk about this all the time. Miami, a 4.5-point favorite for the game. Total down to 48.5. As a bettor who's got the first half under, you love to see that, right?
Yep, that is a great start to the game for a first half under.
8-plus minutes off the clock and only 3 points.
Yep, yeah. And a 3 and out from an explosive offense. So this drive is going to wrap up, about 7.5 minutes? And the opening drive for Trinidad Chambliss and Company, the first quarter number was 10.5. So we will see what we get from the Ole Miss offense here. But the opening drive for Miami, 13 plays, 7-plus minutes, and it ends in a field goal. And right now the live total has dropped to 48.5. You saw some late over money come in, but you pointed it out right before kick. What happened? Circa took a hit on the under, and it closed 52.5, I believe the lowest in the market.
Yeah, went from 53 to 52.5 right before kickoff on some sharp money there, the live total down to 48.5. Tim, we've got a lot of audio we can run tonight.
Yeah.
Dan Saley, professional bettor and college football handicapping specialist, is going to join us at halftime tonight. We'll see if Dan's got an opinion. He's on Miami -3. He's on Indiana Moneyline tomorrow night, but when the first half plays out, see what Dan thinks, if there's a halftime bet to be made. Got a lot of clips tonight we can throw in from Kurt Cignetti, Fernando Mendoza, Dante Moore, Dan Lanning.
Before we get to a little Kurt Cignetti, I do want to pass across some breaking college football news.
Wait a minute. Does it involve Lane Kiffin in one way or another?
Sort of.
I think it does.
Lane Kiffin needs a quarterback.
He's not going to get this one, is he?
He's not going to get this one. There would have been legal suits. And Matt, after thoughtful reflection with his family.
Oh, of course.
He is excited to announce that
his attorney.
He is excited to announce he will continue his football journey at the University of Washington. Ladies and gentlemen, Damon Williams is not leaving. There will be lawsuits no more. I am deeply grateful to my coaches, teammates, and everyone in the program for fostering an environment where I can thrive, yada, yada, yada.
Wow. Yeah. Two nights ago, we're on this show, and Damon Williams announces he's gone.
I'm out.
He's leaving, hitting the transfer portal. Reports surface, he's taking the money and going to LSU. Now he's thankful for his teammates and coaches, and he's just going to stay put because there was a lawsuit that was going to be thrown in his face, and it's in his best interest to stay in Seattle.
That is correct. Yeah. So he will be staying with the Washington
College
Huskies.
College sports, ladies and gentlemen.
Da da da, yeah. Da da da. Ha!
No salary cap, unrestricted free agency.
Our buddy, our buddy down in Lubbock, Texas, Ryan Hyatt, when Isaiah Horton of Alabama went in the.
Is Ryan back at Brian's Steakhouse?
I don't
tonight?
Know. I just assume he lives there. That's just my guess. I don't know. He pays rent or something like that. But he said it's warmer in Lubbock when someone asked me if I hope that Isaiah Horton can go to Notre Dame. The Alabama wide receiver finished with 8 touchdowns. I said, yeah, the money's warmer too. He said, yep, you better believe it. So,
you know, it's interesting. Damon Williams announced he was going to LSU, or he announced he's leaving, transfer portal. Reports came out that he was headed to LSU. At the same time, Lane Kiffin was sitting at the LSU basketball game with Sam Levitt, the Arizona State transfer quarterback. What is going on?
Can't make it up, baby. Can't make it up. Kickoff goes out of the back of the end zone, so Ole Miss will start their second drive at their own 25-yard line. Quick update. Live total down to 47.5. Spread up to 5.5. Miami minus 250 on the money line. So we have a break in the action there. So let's talk a little bit about what to expect tomorrow night between Oregon and Indiana. And of course, Kurt Cignetti and the Indiana Hoosiers have already beaten Oregon once this year, Matt. So they know what to expect. But do you remember when Indiana played Maryland earlier this year?
I do.
How great Indiana talked up Maryland. They had a long snapper, short snapper. They had a quarterback who was 6'3". Everything that was, they sounded great.
I think Indiana won by 40, right?
Sounds about right. Well, Kurt Cignetti, he knows the game plan. Talking highly about his semifinal opponent, the Oregon Ducks.
Obviously, it's an honor. It's great to be here. I can't say enough great things about Oregon. Really have a lot of respect for Coach Lanning, their team, what they've put on tape, what they've gotten done. In their recent history, they're good in all three phases, and they're a great football team. And people, I know I said it's hard to beat a great team twice. Well, it's hard to beat a great team, period.
True.
Yeah, Cignetti and the Hoosiers in that first matchup in October. That game was tied at 20 after Fernando Mendoza threw a pick six. Hoosiers regrouped and ended up winning that game 30-20. What's interesting is the first time these teams played, Tim, I was on Indiana plus 7.5 at Oregon.
Mm-hmm.
Now we're on a neutral field. It's in Atlanta. You're going to have a bunch of delirious Hoosiers down there like Wes Reynolds packing that stadium, so it's going to be a tough atmosphere for the Ducks. But you have more than a 10-point adjustment in the number from the first meeting to this one. You're going from what opened as Oregon 7.5, 8-point favorite, closed Oregon minus 7, Indiana, a 3.5-point favorite tomorrow night. Indiana might close a 4-point favorite tomorrow night. I have a feeling there's going to be more public betting action on the Hoosiers. You think so?
I think so. By the way, this was in Brad Powers' newsletter. According to ESPN's Bill Conley, we've had 9 rematches so far this year, and the scoring margin has changed by 15.7 points in the rematch. And, of course, so far this postseason, the loser of the first game has won the rematch in the playoff games. Ole Miss over Georgia, Alabama over Oklahoma. Tulane did not get there against Ole Miss.
I want to include the SEC championship game.
Alabama and Georgia.
Georgia beat Alabama after Alabama won the first matchup, yeah.
So I'm waiting. We talked about it on the VSiN College Football Betting Podcast. We both gave out Oregon as plays, but we both said the same thing. We think this number will move. So we're going to wait and see if we can get a better number on Oregon. I think we will. You know, we heard from Chuck Esposito. Right now, 60% of tickets at stations are on Indiana. And I think as we get closer to kickoff tomorrow, I think you'll see that number continue to climb. And I wouldn't be surprised if some fours showed up in the betting market.
Ole Miss takes over, second possession, short pass out in the flat to Kawan Lacy from Chambliss, and that's going to be about a three-yard gain, but that was a tough 3 yards, Tim.
Keyonte Scott, who has been such a massive addition back to Miami, he had the pick six against Ohio State, made a ton of plays against Texas A&M. He laid the shoulder right into Kawan Lacy on a screen pass. He ends up getting about 2 or 3 yards, Matt, but ultimately it was a hard 3 yards, 2nd and 7 upcoming for the Ole Miss offense here. 3-0, Miami with the lead. And Trinidad Chambliss is going to use some of that mobility, but get a whole bunch of nothing, Matt.
Yeah, nothing there. Chambliss and a keeper around the right end, and it looked like he might have 4 or 5 yards again, and he got nothing. Third down and long.
Live line, 5.5 in favor of the Miami Hurricanes. 3rd and 6 upcoming for Ole Miss. Big one for the Rebels. Will they get the first down? Will they keep this drive alive? We'll get you the update on the other side. It is VSiN Primetime.
You're here because you want an edge. That's what separates listeners from winners. But let's be real, mindset alone doesn't get bets home. Pros win because they've got the tools, the data, and the discipline. And now so can you. Visa Pro gives you access to the same real-time insights the sharps use. No secrets, no fluff, just actionable info that moves markets. Tap the link and see why serious bettors are turning knowledge into profit with VSiN Pro.
This is VSiN Primetime on VSiN, the sports betting network.
3-0, two drives for Ole Miss, Matt. -3 yards to show for it. And Miami gets the ball back. And for those who have the under in the first half, let's get another long, slow, methodical drive here for the Miami Hurricanes. First quarter total was 10.5. It is 3-0, a long first drive by the Miami Hurricanes, Matt, that led to a field goal. And we'll see what Pete Golding's defense can do. A ball will be placed at the 23-yard line right now for Miami with 5:11 to go in the opening quarter.
We have a tweet here you want to read?
I did want to read a tweet here in just a moment as a
first down run for 8 yards. Just a little bit too easy for Miami on the ground. That was fortunate for Ole Miss that Miami made that dumb decision to run the wildcat on third down, and they stuffed that play and forced a field goal because it doesn't look like the Hurricanes are running downhill.
Yeah. Jamar Brown picking up about 8 yards on that run, and it'll be 2nd and 2. The offensive line, the much ballyhooed offensive line of Miami, continues to roll, and they will pick up another first down, short gainer there for the Miami Hurricanes. Matt, you could always tweet us. You're at MattHumans247. I'm at 1 Tim Murray. This from Matthew. He says, I will say as far as Mario, I think he's somewhat turning the stupidity around. And it has been impressive to me how he is willing to stick to the run game. So many coaches will not stick to it even when you're getting whatever you want on the ground.
And there's some truth to that. Yeah. You know, he has been very conservative with the game plans here so far as in the playoff. Ooh, Carson Beck throws into traffic right there, but he completes it to Malachi Toney.
Ooh, we got a
flag on the play. That's probably a defensive – you think that's a defensive hold or a contact? Anyway, we'll see what happens here. But Beck throws into coverage and gets the completion. It looks like it's going to be a first down. The thing about it, Carson Beck has 103 and 138 yards passing in the first two playoff games. Tim, but that's the thing. Oh, we got a hit to the head. That's
going to be a we're going to get this. We're going to get this reviewed on Ole Miss if it is targeting. So it was a big collision at midfield on a throw, a dangerous throw from Carson Beck, and you were getting to the point of his yardage so far in this postseason. He hasn't really gone that deep down the field,
right.
And this was one of the more aggressive throws we've seen. I hope that's not targeting. He was going for
like,
the ball. That's,
yeah, I don't like the call.
That's a terrible call. Do not make this targeting. He's not even looking at Malachi. That is not the letter of the law. The letter of targeting is to lower your head, to launch, to try to inflict injury. These two players were going for the football. So hopefully this review will come back and say it is not targeting. It's just a good catch from Malachi Toney, and it gives the ball or keeps the ball for Miami at midfield. This would be a terrible call if this is upheld.
We've seen plenty of terrible calls.
Oh, sure.
Usually in the NFL.
Big Ten officiating crew tonight, by the way, on hand at the Verbo Fiesta Bowl.
I'll tell you something about officiating in college football that's not talked about a whole lot. It's far better than what you see in the NFL. Now, we're hoping that this is not a targeting call. A lot of times when you go to the booth in college football, they get the call right. They fix it.
Yeah.
Tim, in the Rose Bowl, do you know how many total penalties were accepted in the Rose Bowl game between
all is overturned. There we go. Good job.
I got
Russ.
It right.
Good job.
They do this right a lot of times in college football. Not all the time. Nobody's perfect. But they get it right a lot of times. So in the Rose Bowl, the Alabama-Indiana game, Tim, do you know how many total accepted penalties there were in that game?
It was low. I would say, was it four?
Two. Alabama 1 for 5, Indiana 1 for 10. That's it.
Love
two
it.
Penalties in the officials. Stay out of the game.
Well,
unlike the NFL, you don't have to micromanage every play and throw flags on every other play. I think college football does a much better job with the officiating.
I was listening to our buddy The Bear on his podcast, Bear Betts, and he talked about this and saying this was one of the more penalized teams, Miami, during the regular season. And the fact that they're letting these guys play a little bit more, I think, is beneficial. We're going to get probably a hold as we see. As
aren't
soon,
you,
as, soon as we're talking, yeah. Hey, Miami, they're disciplined. As soon as we say that, there's a clear hold in the middle of the field on a big run here
the announcer
for Miami.
Jinx.
Yep, and we did it. On cue. Wow. You know, this Miami team not getting
they're
called
not
for penalties
flags.
At all.
Flag holding, right bring back the big run by the Hurricanes. I believe, I'm going to go back and double check this. I think in the Georgia Ole Miss game last week, I'm pretty sure there were very few flags in
and
that game.
That is a good holding call, right around the shoulder.
That's can't, definitely
you can't do that. He is the tight end is wrapping up the Ole Miss linebacker. The crazy thing is, just let him try to tackle your running back. I mean, this running back room is so strong there. So first and 16 upcoming for Ole Miss as the ball backs back up past midfield, and we'll get first and 16 here for Miami as another quick screen pass, and we'll get a second and long now upcoming.
But that's a wide receiver screen. Again, that's a conservative, safe play call, right? You're seeing a lot of this out of the Miami playbook. By the way, the Ole Miss-Georgia game, total of 73 points in that game, 39-34, a wild game. Only a total of 8 penalties in that, 4 for each team. It's just you notice a big difference. We watch a lot of college football. The game is not over-officiated like it is in the NFL.
Matt, you know what would be great right now? And you'll have them tomorrow.
A steak?
Some Omaha steaks and some wings. Right now, if you spend $129, you can spend a score 2 pounds of fully cooked chicken wings plus 50% off site-wide at omahasteaks.com/VSIN. Football meets flavor with VSIN and Omaha Steaks. They're the official sponsor of tailgating. Don't wait. Spend $129. Get 2 pounds of wings. Save 50% site-wide on steaks and more at omahasteaks.com/VSIN. That's omahasteaks.com/VSIN. Do we have a fumble here?
Nah, it was a backwards pass, but he scooped it up. Alert play by Fletcher to scoop that up and run with it. He knew it was a backwards pass, and he took off and... You know, a lot of guys would just watch the ball bounce on the ground like that, and that would have been a fumble, Tim. Turns into a 5-yard gain. 3rd and 9. See what the Hurricanes, we got a flag here. That's going to be a procedure.
So how about this? That loss, Carson back 4 yards rushing.
No, is
yeah.
it really?
Uh-huh. Yeah, I'm looking at the box score right now. I don't understand that. So it was a backwards pass. So that minus four to him, and then Fletcher gets the yardage as they picked it up?
I guess.
Wow. So that's what you have to be worried about. So I have the prop, Carson Beck, over 3.5 rushing yards. He got it, had a 6-yard rush. That right there lost him 4 yards. Gotta love it. That's why I wasn't celebrating a win just yet, because weird stuff can happen, and that lost him 6 yards. Really? That surprises me.
Third and 14, back in the shotgun here. The live number is Miami 5.5, total of 42.5, and the Hurricanes are going to come up short here. They're going to have to punt. And, we have not had a lot of action here. Tim, your first half under is looking pretty good. Don't want to jinx it. But final minute of the first quarter, and it's 3 points on the board. And Ole Miss really generating nothing offensively right now. That's something's going to have to change. Charlie Weiss Jr. is going to have to make some adjustments here.
First quarter total was 10.5. That is pretty safe to come home right now, as we're going to get a punt from Miami. Under 40 seconds to go, and Miami, their second drive stalls out. Had some success, a penalty, a fumble from Carson Beck, which surprised me that he lost 4 yards rushing there. And now a punt into the end zone. So Ole Miss will get the ball at their own 20-yard line. Third drive upcoming for Trinidad Chambliss and this Ole Miss offense. And so far, Matt, the Ole Miss offense has garnered negative 3 yards so far tonight. 0-for-2 on third downs. Miami, 84 yards, but just 3 points. And if you're Pete Golding right now, with your offense starting the way that they did, to only be down 3-0, you got to be relatively happy that your defense was able to hold there.
This could be far worse. I don't think the Hurricanes have come close to capitalizing on the opportunities they've had there. They had a chance to kind of take control of this game. Probably should be up 10-0 right now, the way they've controlled the flow of the play. Ole Miss takes over its own 20. Chambliss hands off to Lacey out of the shotgun. That's going to be a 2-yard run. It's got to find ways to generate at least one big play here. You got to take the top off the defense. You got to loosen up the defense a little bit, and they're not doing that right now. Miami's able to crowd these receivers and play close to the line of scrimmage on the defensive side, because Ole Miss has done nothing here to loosen up the D. Here we go.
Oh, we're going to get a penalty on Miami.
As soon as we mentioned Miami's not being penalized, you notice there's been 3 penalties on Miami?
I have noticed that as they get called. So Miami on the final play of the first quarter gets called for offside. So Ole Miss trying to
get something going there.
There's no cheapies, if you will, as right there the defensive tackle goes right into the center. So 3-0. Will be the score. I believe we have one more play in the first quarter here. I think we'll get one more play in this first quarter. Live number 4.5 total, down to 40.5 in this one. End of the first quarter, Miami leads 3-0 over the Ole Miss Rebels. Ole Miss, though, with the ball and actually having a marginal amount of success on this drive.
This is VSiN Primetime on VSiN, the sports betting network.
You know, some people might think that Ryan Kramer's specialty is first touchdowns in primetime games. But you might say, well, it only carries over to the NFL. Never would it carry over.
He's not a one-trick pony.
No. Matt, as we come back from break, the seas part down in Glendale, Arizona, and Kawan Lacey goes 73 yards, almost untouched into the end zone. Boys and girls, we got ourselves a ball game down there in Glendale, Arizona. Live line, Miami's still the favorite at -135. Total back up to 47.5, and just like that, the Ole Miss Rebels on the board, and a salute to Ryan Kramer. First touchdown, Kawan Lacey. I believe that was on the list. Was that right? Corey, are we double-checking? It was not? Oh, well, I gave him credit. I thought he was. I thought Ryan Kramer did have that.
We talked about Kawan Lacey and Mark Fletcher being the favorites, And Malachi Toney and Trinidad Shambliss were on his list.
My mistake.
You know what?
I got a little excited for
initially,
Ryan.
I thought he had Lacy, too. We're so used to Kramer hitting winners that we just assume Kramer's going to hit a winner.
He usually has one chalky play, and I thought it was Kawan Lacy for some incident. But still follow Ryan Kramer. He is the best when it comes to these first touchdowns, even though he didn't hit that one. But Kawan Lacy scores the game's first touchdown, I believe. Corey, you do have the graphic of the first touchdowns. I believe he was around 5-1 to score the game's first touchdown. Mark Fletcher was your favorite at plus 450. So Kawan Lacy, untouched, almost into the end zone, man. We got ourselves a ball game down there in Glendale as heading into that drive, you had essentially no life from this Ole Miss offense and one play. And we are back into this bad boy as that one officially goes 73 yards to the house.
Yeah, just as you start to feel good about the first half under, you get boom, get a long run for a touchdown.
Like the first quarter. I played first quarter under two, but man, a play like that is not what you want to see if you have first half under. Like we saw in the Ohio State-Miami game, which ultimately got there, but Keontae Scott had that pick six. I was like, oh, geez, here we go. So we will see. If we get another long, sustained drive from the Hurricanes here.
Sometimes, Tim, all it takes is one big play like that to loosen up the game and kind of break it open. And that's why when you bet the under, you hate to see a play like that because then the game could just really turn wild. Here we've got Miami with a run up the middle and a first down. Look at that. I think the Canes are going to get more aggressive on offense right now. By the way, that breakdown by the Miami defense, inexcusable. For a Miami defense, we bragged about it. Everybody's been bragging about it. To give up a 73-yard run on a play like that, that should not happen.
Well, the question now, too, is does that wake this Miami defense up just a break?
I think it's waking up their offense, too. Yeah. So I think they're going to get more aggressive after a play like that, and that's why when you bet the under, you hate to see plays like that. It's like waking up a sleeping bear, right?
Somewhere the bear is awoken, I imagine, watching this game as Carson Beck is going to throw one in the flats, but is going to get a flag to go his way. So Kawan Lacy, 73 yards to the house. Prior to that, Ole Miss had negative 3 yards of offense. Quick update from college basketball as we have a final. Got a little bit squirrely there, but ultimately Michigan State holds on to beat Northwestern 76-66, the final score. Northwestern does get the cover, though, Matt. So you mentioned they like that underdog role. The Purple Cats cover as 13-point dogs at Michigan State tonight. Had a chance, it looked like, for times to win the game outright, but ultimately Sparty gets the win. Northwestern gets the cover. Still to come, we've got Rutgers in Illinois, Matt, as 16th-ranked Illini are 22.5-point favorites here against Rutgers. And now a 2nd and 10 upcoming. It's interesting. We had a tweet saying Miami's not going to go away from the run. Well, they go with the screen pass there on first down. They go with the high percentage plays and just a little bit out in front of Malachi Toney. Carson Beck is a little bit off the mark here tonight. It feels like he missed a pass on the first drive that would have been a touchdown, threw it over the wrong shoulder of Malachi Toney, and right there a missed screen pass. He also, as I know now, lost 4 yards on a fumble on a screen pass that went backwards. It was ultimately picked up by Miami. And another pass that's a little bit off the mark, but good adjustment and a first down here from Miami. So you're actually starting to, as you pointed out, starting to see a little tempo here for Miami, which is surprising. This is one of the slower teams in college football.
I just think that...
Wow, that's a good catch.
That was not a great pass.
No.
Carson Beck is not a quarterback I've ever believed in or I want to bet on. We'll see if he can change that narrative tonight because I know a lot of people feel the same way. But he's got some pretty good receivers to work with in this Miami offense, and one bailed him out right there.
Joshua Moore with a pass that was a little bit behind him. He ultimately made the catch here as Carson Beck going to go deep and another overthrown. I don't get this play calling right now. If you're Shannon Dawson, you give up one touchdown and now you're going to go all aerial.
I thought they were going to get more aggressive. That's human nature. You tend to give up a big play. You want to strike back with a big play too. And Miami's starting to go deep. Beck, not even close on that deep pass. In fact, he threw that out of bounds.
Yep.
He had Malachi Toney going deep. I just think when you're running downhill, and you're getting 5-6 yards of carry, keep running downhill.
Mark Fletcher.
You're going to wear down the defense.
Mark Fletcher's averaging 5.5 yards a carry. Chamar Brown is averaging 5.5 yards a carry. As there's my rush from my fleet of foot quarterback.
You got
2 Carson
yards
back
there.
Where are we at? Five yards now. All right, we're over 3.5. No more sacks, but a big third down now. As we're starting to see some life here from this Ole Miss defense, man. This is a big, big spot here for both these teams. Ball is past midfield. And a 3rd and 7 upcoming for Carson Beck and the U.
Big fan of the Miami cheerleaders they just showed on the shot there.
Now, I would say, Matt, this is probably 4-down territory, assuming they can get some yardage here on first
down.
Not going
to happen.
And they're going to get a big chunk play across the middle there for a first down.
Carson Beck with a pretty good throw there. So he's on the money with that one. 11:50 to go, first down Hurricanes. And 7-3, Ole Miss with the lead. Live line, Miami -3.5 still. Total 48.5. Money line, Miami -200.
A lot of time. Good job by Carson Beck going through his progressions and fired one across the middle.
Receiver Lofton took one for the team there, Tim.
9 first downs to 1. But that one came on a 73-yard touchdown run from Kawan
That's
Lacy.
Quality, not quantity.
And
right?
This is going to be a penalty. Thankfully, the running back took the ball from Carson Beck. Good job, running back.
Everybody tune in to watch Tim loses. You know what? When Carson Beck takes a big loss.
We got some sort of false start here if they're going to let this play stand or not. So bad snap. Mario Cristobal's did call a timeout. So we got a timeout, 11:18. The bad snap will not count against our guy, Carson Beck. But, Matt, we have a big one tomorrow. You'll be on the air, of course, with the Circa Friday Football Invitational.
Got a great lineup of guests tomorrow night, too.
Who you got?
We've got the madman, Chris Massaro, the leader. The leader in the Friday Football Invitational in studio. How about Jason Jarvis flying in from Connecticut just to do the show? That's the only reason he came out this weekend to do the show. Massaro, Jarvis, Mike North out of Chicago, Jeff Cusera, who's the leader in the Average Joe contest.
Nice.
And Steve Fezzik in the final hour. Fezzik rallied to finish top 10 in the Circa Million contest. Oh. He did fail to make the cut in the Friday night contest, but he will be here tomorrow night for the awards ceremony for the Circa Million, and he's going to stop in studio. I think we will have one additional guest in the final hour tonight, but Derek Stevens, Chris Massaro, Jason Jarvis, Mike North, Jeff Cusera, and Steve Fezzik.
And will you guys be talking about Dante Moore and the Oregon Ducks, Matt? You know, they lost to Indiana earlier this year on the, at home.
That's going to be the great thing about the show tomorrow night, Tim. A lot of times we don't talk about the games that are going on because the show replays overnight. Tomorrow night we will talk about the live betting aspects of the Indiana-Oregon game.
Well, Dante Moore, Matt, what did he learn from that loss against the Hoosiers back in October?
Too fast on my progressions. There was some times where it was open guy, and I mean, you can say I was kind of seeing ghosts out there. It was more of just trying to get through my progressions too fast. And another thing too is when I climb to the pocket, I tend to, you know, I was trying to rush and get out, and there was some times where I can climb into the pocket and there was no need for me to move. So those are probably the two biggest things. Just gotta, you know, learn from there. But yeah, I'm feeling real confident and excited.
Dante Moore in that game against Indiana, as he alluded to, looking at the numbers, Matt, he was 21-34, but threw 2 picks, just 186 yards passing in that game.
Well, if you watch that game, and I watched it again last week, you're talking about the top two quarterback prospects in this draft, and Tim, they were not impressive in that game. Moore throws 2 picks, Mendoza throws a pick six, but we'll see if they can put on a little bit better show on Friday night.
7-3, Ole Miss with the lead over Miami. A first down for the Canes. They were able to get a timeout before a big loss on a play. Miami's got the ball, driving inside the 30-yard line of Ole Miss. Stick with us. We're giving you live reactions to the Fiesta Bowl right here on VSiN Primetime.
VSiN Primetime on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
First and goal for Miami, and it'll be second and goal now for Miami as they slip on a dive. Chamar Brown, after a third down conversion, slip on that fresh turf down there in Glendale, Arizona. So Miami will have to wait to punch it in here, Matt. Second and goal now from about the 3 yard line. Tick, 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 tick. Let's keep rolling this clock here. Keep that Ole Miss offense off the field if you're Miami. And this has been another long, sustained drive.
Touchdown, Matt. Canes. Here we go. It's going to be a handoff up the middle.
And Charmon Brown, after slipping, will get into the end zone.
Yep.
7:09 to go, and a touchdown. And that moves the total to 48.5. So kind of a long drive doesn't really affect the total all that much.
Ate up a lot of clock. Eating up a lot of clock in this game so far. 7 minutes to go before the half. Going to have 17 points on the board. That is slightly trending under. We'll see what Ole Miss can do when it gets the ball back. But Miami now a 4.5-point favorite for the game, minus 240 on the money line.
Yeah, and he's in.
He's in.
They were checking if his elbow was down. He is in. And Miami on the board, a 15-play, 75-yard drive, 7 minutes and 41 seconds to give Miami the 10-7 lead. Just a little while ago, they were around minus 130 on the money line after the Kawan Lacy long touchdown run. They're back to minus 238, spread 4.5. And now Trinidad Chambliss in this offense, how do they respond after another long drive? Matt, Miami, when they stick to the run game, that's what's working. Their offensive line is dominating Ole Miss up front. Give Ole Miss credit. They had the big stop on the first drive to force a field goal, and then the penalties are what moved Miami off the mark on their second drive, and that's where we're at right now, 10-7. 4.5, 48.5, anything you would do right now with this game?
Not really. Tim, I think what we've seen here is Miami offensive line's controlling the game. If not for one big play by Ole Miss, Hurricanes totally controlling the game. But they gave up that one big play, and you can't take that off the board. I think the live total dropping is right because this game does seem like a slow-paced game where you're not going to get a bunch of big plays tonight. Miami really not trying to take many shots at big plays. So, I would say nothing right now that jumps out to me. I still think you're probably going to go to the wire in this. So if you said, hey, you got to make a live bet right now, what would you play? I'd play either under 48.5 or Ole Miss plus 4.5.
Curious how this drive pans out here for Ole Miss. If I'm looking,
they got to get some first downs. Said the key. Well, they got one first down,
and it was on the touchdown.
You got to pick up some. You got to move the sticks and keep let the defense rest a little bit.
All right, Matt, right now, the time of possession difference, 1949 to 302.
That's going to catch up to you,
right?
You got to do something about
long
that.
Drives by Miami, kind of once again trying to put that stranglehold on them, if you will. And if you're Charlie Weiss Jr., I know you're an up-tempo team, but do you got to change things up a little bit to try to get a bit of a sustained drive here? Do you look a little bit shorter? I don't know. Look, that defensive front is absolutely nasty for Miami. Injury note to pass across, Elijah Lofton, tight end for Miami, carted off the field. He had a towel over his head, so you would imagine probably not coming back in the game, Matt. 22 catches, 203 yards, 3 touchdowns on the season. The sophomore out of Vegas, out of our backyard, Elijah Lofton, he looks to be out for the game. But what do we get from Superman? Trinidad Chambliss. He was unbelievable in the second half against Georgia. Fourth drive of the game. So far, Matt, Trinidad Chambliss, 2 of 3 for 8 yards. He's got 3 carries for negative 11.
Tim, that's not Superman-like.
No.
To have what's he got, a net negative 3 yards? Right now, again, yep. You're talking about a guy who produced 362 passing yards against Georgia. And what were we talking about in pregame? Bet the opposite of what you saw last. Yep. That's what concerns me a little bit. He was so sensational in that Sugar Bowl against Georgia that I wondered tonight if he was going to get humbled a little bit.
And this is also concerning.
So far, that's the problem. What's the problem?
Kawan Lacy, I'm sure he'll play, but he is stretching out what looks to be his hamstring on the sidelines.
He slowed up at the end of that run and started coasting.
Yeah. So we'll see.
That would be a big problem if Kawan Lacy can't, yeah. can't finish this game or is not a full strength, because if Ole Miss can't run the ball, you're going to be in big trouble here. Let's see if Trinidad Shambliss can get it going. Now, I'm sure nobody thought that was 7 minutes ago in the first half tonight he would have no net yards.
-3 net yards, to be exact. It's crazy, Matt. So we will see what Trinidad Shambliss. That time of possession is wild. 1949-302. I expected Miami to control the ball, and that's what led me to play the first half under. I didn't think it would be like this. But you get one big play, Ole Miss could take the lead here.
When it's 19-3 in time of possession, you should have more than a 3-point lead in the game.
Yeah, no doubt. And it's almost 20-3. So 7 minutes to go in the first half, Matt. It is a 3-point lead for the Canes. And Trinidad Shambliss and the Ole Miss offense back on the field, starting at their own 25-yard line after a touchback here from the Ole Miss defense. And what's interesting to note here, Matt, that is Logan Diggs. That is not Kawan Lacy as the running back for Ole Miss. And we're going to get
no flag?
Hopefully no flag.
I don't think that deserved the flag, but threw him down out of bounds a little bit late. But that's actually a big play for the Ole Miss offense. What was that, about a 6-yard gain? Actually, it should have been stopped for about 1 or 2 yards.
Logan Diggs broke a couple of play, a couple of tackles there. So number 5 right now not on the field for the Ole Miss Rebels.
And first down.
Logan Diggs getting a couple. And this is what we were asking for from Charlie Weiss Jr.'s offense. Hey, can you get a sustained drive here? Can you chew up some clock a little bit? And this is, I would say, Matt, this is already the longest drive of the first half for Ole Miss. 2 plays. Burning a little bit of clock here.
Well, they had to have this. Pick up a first down. Try to sustain a drive, and that's imperative here for the Ole Miss offense to do that. Shambliss throws deep, and that throw had no shot whatsoever. End up throwing that out of bounds under some pressure. We got a flag. Is that going to be a hit on the quarterback?
I'm going to say, based off of the helmet that Trinidad Shambliss was wearing there, there's a good chance this is going to be a personal foul. And it is going to be roughing the passer. So we talked about it. I put the jinx on Miami. I said, man, they've been doing a good job not being penalized. One of the more penalized teams in college football. And then here we go. A couple of penalties right out of the here. And ooh, that's a forearm to the face. Can't do that.
Boy, that's a dumb play.
That is not.
That is really dumb. What are you thinking? Right
and also,
there?
Matt, it's, as you pointed out,
you're not going to get away by get away with slugging the quarterback in the face. And well, after he throws the ball, by the way.
Yeah, and as you pointed out too, this was a Miami off or Miami defense that play.
There we go.
Was
there we go?
Was
now easy. The Rebels are moving, Tim.
And this is not good for me. First half total.
Always thinking about yourself.
Of course.
Selfish.
I gave it out on the VSiN College Football Betting Podcast. Maybe have some people. First half total, 24.5 now. So it is continuing to climb. And we'll see if Miami, what they will be able to do here, if they can get a stop. And we will get a this is the best drive. Now, they had the explosive touchdown run, but this is the best drive for sure Ole Miss has had here in this game. But they're going to keep the tempo going, Matt. This is what they do.
Oh, smart. Yeah.
Ball at the 25-yard line, and Trinidad Shambliss and the Ole Miss offense is on the march a little bit here. And now they're going to face a 3rd and long. Do remember, they have a monster kicker.
Lucas Carnero, by the way, cool hand Lucas in the game against Georgia. 47, 55, and 56-yard field goals. That could be the edge Ole Miss needs tonight. I'll tell you what, if this drive ends in a field goal, it's still a positive drive because you picked up first downs, you were able to run some clock, and you would emerge from this in a 10-10 tie, obviously giving the ball back to Miami with a chance to run basically a 3.5-minute drill. But still, I think Ole Miss got what it needed to out of this possession. It is going to end in a field goal attempt as Shambliss throws that out of bounds under pressure. Just trying to get rid of the ball. It's going to be 4th and 7.
Did he get hit out of bounds or did he just slip?
I think he ran out of bounds.
Okay. By the way, just watching this replay, it was it Reuben Bain who came off the edge there? They had plenty of pressure there. That's what we've seen. Ooh, that was a dumb decision. Actually, that should have been a late play. That's a late hit, Matt.
You're right.
That is a late hit. Miami got lucky.
How was that not called?
That is a horrible
miss.
Shoved
him into the bench?
99 for Miami. Just two arms shoved Trinidad Chambliss out of bounds. That is a
very dumb play.
Very fortunate decision break there as the kick from Lucas Carnero is perfect. 10-10.
Lucas Carnero is better than half the kickers I've seen in the NFL.
What year is Lucas Carnero? Because he might be making himself some cash. Well, regardless, he's probably making himself some cash regardless. We got a 10-10 ball game. Live total right now, 45.5. Actually, that's the wrong game I'm looking at. 49.5. There you go.